collapse of the Nixon administration and of our interior and foreign policies, would the senator now choose to lead Alaska to statehood?
Well, I would say that when I thought when we got statehood that our troubles were over, that we'd be masters in our own house, but apparently that's not the case, and as I pointed out earlier, the arbitrary acts of a distant bureaucrat, a Secretary of the Interior, in imposing his will without consultation of the people of Alaska, on the people of Alaska, wonders whether statehood was the solution. And in fact, recently some people have raised the possibility of seceding. It seems a little remote and far-fetched for the moment, but after all, it might mean complete self-government. And if we did secede, I'm not taking it seriously yet, but if we did secede, with all our potential oil supply, we could be like the Arabs. We could blackmail Uncle Sam and say, treat us right, as you won't get any oil.
That's been suggested. Sonny?
The caller asked why you insisted on the transfer of Holland Island to the Interior Department at the time you did.
What island was that?
Holland?
Holland Island. I don't recall that one. Is it Canton Island? Canton?
No, well, he said Holland. And I wish him luck because he said this was in 1937.
Holland Island? I don't recognize that any such island.
Try another one. If you were governor now, what would you consider your major task?
Building up the economy of Alaska, making possible for people to meet their bills with a steadily rising cost of living. I think that, as I pointed out, I think that people feel very insecure in our country today, despite Mr. Nixon's constantly invoking security. They feel insecure because as the cost of living rises, many of them fear the day approaching when they can no longer meet their bills. They feel insecure because they can no longer walk the streets of our cities without danger of being mugged, robbed, beaten, and often killed. And although I think this is passing now with the revelations of Watergate, there was a time when if you were a journalist, an editor, a minister, a teacher, or a person with independent ideas, and you expressed those ideas and they were in conflict with the administration, you were in danger of being spied upon, watched, wiretapped, and maybe you had visits from the Internal Revenue Service. I can give you specific examples of that. I was in Massachusetts not long ago, and there was a minister, the Episcopal minister, in a church of a suburb of Boston, Melrose, Trinity Episcopal Church, who after the Kent State Massacre was asked by a group of students to give them a room so they could protest against the continuation of the war and the kind of actions that caused the National Guard to kill three poor students. And he gave them a room in the basement, and they held this protest meeting quite peacefully and adopted some resolutions which they sent to newspapers. A few weeks later, he was visited by a representative of the Internal Revenue and told Reverend Radke, if you have another one of those meetings, you're going to lose your church's tax-exempt status. A deliberate violation of the First Amendment, a violation of the provision guaranteeing freedom of worship, a violation of the provision guaranteeing freedom of assembly, and violation of freedom of speech done by this administration.
I know I'm coming off sounding silly here because you would think that you're liberal and everybody who knows you would think so, and I'm very alone in this thought, but I submit that that response you just gave me of building up the economy of Alaska isn't what would come out of the mouth of a blazing liberal sitting here on this show. You just don't fit the mold that well.
It's all right with me. I don't think I have to fit any mold.
Okay. That's really all I wanted to establish. Sonny?
A caller asked, Senator, for your sentiments on impeachment, and if you think impeachment should take place, on what grounds?
I think it's wrong overdue. I think he violated the Constitution repeatedly. He has lied to the American people. He has jeopardized the electoral system. He has impaired the judicial system. Things that are absolutely basic to our philosophy and ideals from the days of the Founding Fathers. And I think he should have been impeached, and I think he should be now.
In your opinion, he was never an honorable man, was he, in his quarter century in the Congress?
As I read the record, I would say that's absolutely correct.
Sonny?
He was always the same tricky dick he is today.
Sonny?
Some caller is still trying to to dredge your opinion of Senator Gravel out.
Well, I said I referred the questioners who were the particular page in my book, and I think if he reads that, he would have a pretty good opinion, idea of what my opinion is.
With us this evening, while we've talked with Senator Ernest Greening, been Dick Grewal and Joe LaRocca. Dick, some observation at this point? Redwire.
I've just been sitting here mesmerized. I have known Governor and then Senator Greening for so many years. He was governor of Alaska when I first went down to Juneau in the territorial legislature in 1953, and I just dearly love the man. It's just been a real thrill to see him again.
Joe? Larry, I just want to say that I hope that anyone who has the least interest in these things picks up a copy of this book and reads it, because it's enlightening, it's informative. There are numerous lessons to be learned from it. But I'd like to close, at least as far as I'm concerned, by quoting what is my favorite line in the book. And it occurred in the senator's newspaper career when he was the managing editor of the New York Evening Post, and he discovered that the owner of the newspaper was shielding a corrupt judge. And you went to the owner, Mr. Stern, the owner of the New York Post, and confronted him with the information that you knew that he was shielding this corrupt judge. And his reply was, "Oh, you've got to allow me a few fat cats." And your reply was, "I thought you promised me I wouldn't be working in a cat house." That just absolutely broke me up, and it's my favorite line in the book.
Thank you. There are many lines like that, too. And, Senator, of course, we've known each other just a very short time, and but you've been very kind when I've called you for a news story. But what you don't know is that your remarks when I was a little kid in Ohio, and what you wrote, were the impetus for me wanting to come to Alaska. And I didn't get to do it as soon as I wanted to do it. I tried to get here in 55, didn't make it until 66, but you've been an inspiration to a lot of people. I don't want to get too maudlin about it, but I appreciate you being here on the show. Do you have a parting thought for us?
Well, I want to say that my faith in the basic ideals under which this republic was founded are unshaken. But I think it's extremely important that the young people be not swayed by the propaganda which has followed Watergate, to the effect that this was done before, that it's characteristic of our political system, and that it's all rotten, and there's not much use in doing anything about it. I think that is one of the worst consequences of Watergate. It's not all rotten. It could be made very decent. We've just got to try and elect the right kind of people. And I think it's essential that we make democracy work, and I've believed that for many years under various situations, and I think it's more important and more crucial right now than ever has been, because the performance of these last 4 years have been the greatest departure and the greatest betrayal of our basic ideals in our history. I think it's the gravest crisis in our history. I think it's far graver than the Civil War crisis, because at that time, the issues were relatively simple. There was secession and slavery. But here we have an assault on all the basic ideals. And at that time we had a great man who wanted the principles of the Founding Fathers to endure, Lincoln, and he did what was necessary. But here, on the contrary, we've had a man at the top who's been destroying them. And I think we've got to go back to these basic principles, which are eternally sound. They're just as good today as they were 200 years ago. And when we celebrate this bicentennial, we're not going to have much to celebrate unless we get rid of the people who have so betrayed us.
The announcer whose show follows us is clearing his voice again. John Hall. So, Senator Greening, thank you very much. Thank you, Dick. Thank you, Joe.
Opportunity.
Thank you, Sonny. As for now, enough.
You've been listening to Beeline, presented Monday through Friday at this time on KFRB Radio as a production of the Broadcast Center. This is Sonny Carpenter, and I invite you to join us again tomorrow night for more live, spontaneous conversation on Beeline.